Blog Talk Radio.
Bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. For this is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. You're tuned to Time to Talk About It with your host, Pastor G.W. Cheever Porter, coming to you from the beautiful city, Orlando, Florida, the city of sunshine, palm trees, blowing in the wind. Beautiful day. Wish you were here. I want to send special greetings to each and every one of you that listen and those that listen on a continual basis. We want to thank God for you. We appreciate you to the highest. We give God all the praise, and we praise Him for allowing you to be on the other end. So, blessings go out to you today. We love you. We really, really do. Yes, we do. So, we here today with a few of our listeners that call in and send prayer requests of their families. You could do the same by calling 347-857-3925. 347-857-3925. You give us a call while we're on the air. All right, if you want to give us a praise report, you go right ahead. If you want to just tell of the goodness of Jesus, what you're expecting Him to do right now, what you're praying for Him to do, or what you want us to help you pray for. Notice we say help you pray for. We don't want you to leave us out here alone praying for you. But He said if two of us agree is touching anything, it shall be done. So me and you, we can pray together and get the job done. Okay, so remember that today. Bless God. Yes. Praise God. This new praise God. Hallelujah. I know. Thank you, Jesus. We are praying for, thank you, Jesus, hallelujah. We are praying today for, still praying for Carl Williams, who is out of the ICU and he's now in a health center. And they say the doctors say he's not going to be able to walk again. The stroke was so severe that he can't talk or move his head. But we can say this. He'd be trying to talk. He's been trying to talk and move his head. So he's fighting. Okay, so we are praying today for Carl Williams that he continue to fight, and we're going to help him fight through this thing till we see a miracle. We're going to see the hand of God at work in Carl Williams' life. In the name of Jesus, Satan, the blood of Jesus is against you right now. And Carl Williams, we cover you with the blood of Jesus, and His word right now is near you in the name of Jesus. You shall come through. You shall come through. And touch his sister, Lord, who's having a break down here because she's not used to this. But give her courage. Give her strength, Father, for him. Strength. She hold on, then he'll hold on. Father God, in Jesus' name, touch them right now. Touch his children also in Jesus' name. And we thank you for it, God. We thank you, Lord, for touching all of those that have been asked for prayer. And some of them, you know, want prayer for their children or their loved ones that is out there in the world. And they need prayer because the world don't have anything for you but misery. Okay, my God. So we are praying for them today also. Each and every one of them we're praying for. Akira. We praying for her that she won't be depressed. But we ask God to touch her right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, touch her. Make her every whit whole inside and out right now in Jesus' name. All those that have cancer, we pray for them today. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we ask you to have mercy today. Touch and deliver these, your people today, Father God, that is trusting you at this hour. Lord, we ask in Jesus' name that you lift them up where they belong today. Give them the mind to seek your face continually, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord. We thank you for your healing power. All those that had strokes, Father, we ask you right now to touch each and every one of them, God. Touch, Lord, the parts where the enemy has struck them at. In the name of Jesus, bring life back to those parts right now in Jesus' name, Lord. Touch their minds, the part of their minds that reacted to it. Father, in Jesus' name, we cancel that assignment of strokes right now, no matter what they name their strokes, Father, and they're wreaking havoc on your people, Father, killing some of them. Father, in the name of Jesus right now, Lord, let your blood cover every stroke victim right now in Jesus' name that's called by your name today, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. And we thank you for it today, God. We thank you for your mighty acts among men. Father, we pray today for Yvonne Christian, who fell out of bed, and how bad they injured themselves. But in the name of Jesus, we ask you to touch and deliver right now in Jesus' name. And Father God, in Jesus' name, we ask you to touch Kenya Fratt. Father, who have infections in her body that's trying to take over. We rebuke that infection right now, and we cancel that assignment, Lord, and we send it to out of darkness where it belongs and never return in Jesus' name. And we thank you for it, Lord. We thank you for bringing Kima Fratt, Lord God, out of the hospital, releasing her from the hospital who had a whole lot of problems too, Lord. In Jesus' name, Lord, we thank you for it, God, for touching them. We thank you for touching Miriam Krishna today, God. We thank you, Lord God, for touching her one more time, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Keep her spirits up, Father God, that she would continue. Thank you and praise your holy name, Father. Oh, we thank God. She's come a long ways, God. She's come a long ways, Father God. So bless her in a special way, Father. We thank you for it today. God, touch her children too. The wayward ones and the ones that saved. Touch both bunch of Father, in the name of Jesus. All right, let us read the word for you today. You pray for me, okay? Today I need your prayers, each and every one of you. I need your prayers. All right, praise God. I know Sister Diane ain't going to pray for me. She don't want to take this mic. Father God, in Jesus' name. Spiritual maturity is facing each new day with patience, confident that God is in control. Spiritual maturity is facing each new day with patience, confident that God is in control. Now, do you have that maturity? Are you still a babe? Are you still a babe? You can't face each day, each new day, and you don't have no patience in it? You don't have confidence in God that he's in control, do you? Because you're always trying to do it yourself. Oh, I can do it. I can take care of this myself. Huh? All right, now. So it shows what kind of maturity you are, what stage you're in, don't it? That's what it shows, what stage you're in. All right. God is so good. Oh, my goodness. I'm still, basking in our Bible talk last night. We have Bible talk. We have Bible talk. Okay, we have real Bible talk. sometime and get heated, you know. Praise God. We don't fight now. Just notice we don't fight. We just get heated. Everybody get involved. All right? That I like that. You know, I like everybody getting involved, you know, asking questions. Some of the questions seems kind of rather hard, but it takes the Holy Ghost to answer. You see what I'm saying? It takes the Holy Ghost to answer some of these questions. It's like I used to do jail ministry some years back, and so then we had a writing from the jail people, writing people in the church. You know, they'd be a partner, or whatever you call pal, partner, whatever they call, pen pal, and some of them would write some stuff. I don't know where they be getting it from. I asked somebody, I said, now, where in the world did they get this kind of, this conversation here from? So somebody say they got so much time, so anything like to come in their minds. You know, I say, you know what? I'm inclined to believe that too. Praise God. Sometimes you wonder where they be at, sitting around planning. You know, how to challenge somebody, I'm gonna ask this question of somebody, you know, you'd be surprised. But to me, it's enlightening, and we learn from one another, challenging too sometimes. You know, I enjoyed it. I'm still trying to get over that last night. Praise God. Amen, amen. So if I sound a little strange, that's all, okay? But I like it. I have fun. I'm going to tell you the truth. I have fun. And I just reminded myself on last night, you know, when I was coming up in church, first started up, I used to ask a lot of questions myself, you know. And people got a little upset, the pastors and teachers or whoever. They got upset with me because I'd be asking questions. Well, I asked the question because I didn't know nothing. I just come off the street, so to speak, out them clubs and everything, and I ain't know nothing about God, the Bible. I know there's Jesus wept, and I know that the Lord is my shepherd. Now, you know I know them. You know them too, don't you? You know those two scriptures. You don't know nothing else. You done heard say Jesus wept, because that's easy to remember. And you know the Lord is my shepherd. So those little things that you remember that you heard about the Lord, and that's about the gist of it is, you know, that you know. And so that's all I knew. So I had to ask questions, why this, and so what if this here, and blah, 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 blah. And it irritated the teachers, you know. So I'm going to tell you teachers out there, don't get irritated because these people ask questions, because that's just a part of some of these young minds. They have the minds that study clicking all the time with something up in. Wouldn't you rather for to ask these type of questions in church than to be out getting involved in drugs and stuff? Yes, you would. I would. I'd rather, you know, them to be challenging me with questions. And if I don't know, you just say, I don't know. I'll have to ask God about it, and I get back to you. That's all. You ain't got to lie to nobody. You get what I'm trying to tell you today? Amen. Stop getting all crazy. Ain't nothing to get crazy about, you know. Let's just have fun in Jesus. It just gives you joy to me, you know, that somebody going to get something because they did ask a question. Mm-hmm. Did you get that one? I guess you got it. Okay, today we starting off in 2 Kings, the second chapter. 2 Kings, the second chapter. Now, we're going to talk about how two men of God was going someplace in God. Okay, that's Elijah and Elijah. These two men of God. Okay, the 2 Kings, the second chapter. Excuse me. And it came to pass when when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. Now, you said this is a trip that these two was about to take. Let's say it's about to be the last trip the two of them will be able to take, you see. And Elijah, the man of God, now he was a great man of God, and you know he know the voice of God, and he always tried to follow the voice of God too. You know, this is what he's always doing. Doing what he say, no matter how crazy it sounds sometimes, you know, something sounds so ordinarily and plain and crazy to you, say that ain't God. You know, you want God to be complicated. You know, why do people want God to be complicated? There's nothing about him that's complicated. See, he has given you the power to understand. Also, do you see? Mm-hmm. Well, anyway, Gilgal. Now, when Elisha from Gilgal went with Elisha from Gilgal. Now, this is where it started. This is where this trip is getting ready to start. Now, Gilgal just means a circle. Huh? Gilgal means a circle. This is what they're starting off with. Okay? Now, you got to be committed to God. First, long so to enter this circle, you see. Now, Elijah was not taking anyone else, did have no one else with him at this time that understood him or the ministry that he was in. Do you get it? Okay, so now he's in Gilgal. That's the first place he come to. Now, let me say this. If you born again, you've been baptized with the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, whichever way you want to say, you can be proper, Holy Spirit, or you can say Holy Ghost, whichever way you want to say it. Neither way is incorrect. And I'm not going any further. See, so now you baptized in the Holy Ghost, okay? You full of the Holy Ghost. The evidence of speaking in tongues, shouting, hallelujah, and all over the place, huh? But what happened? You going to Gilgal, isn't you? Huh? You walking around in a circle. Huh? You see what I'm saying? Now, with a circle, it's like a merry-go-round. Right? You go round and round and round and round, don't you? On a merry-go-round, is that right? That's what you do. So that's what Gilgal was, huh? But the whole thing meaning that you ain't going nowhere, huh? That's as far as you're going is in that circle. But I like this scripture. I know you hear me say I like them all. Well, I do. The ones that God give me, I do like every one of them, huh? Now, it's a great thing to get to Gilgal, okay? It's great, really great. But listen, you don't want to stay there now, do you? You do not want to stay in that one place. Now, get it in your mind today. You do not want to stay in that one place that you've been in for umpteen years. Hello? Because Elijah knew that he wasn't finna stay in that one place. Okay? He knew that because God done talked to him, right? And then, listen now, next day he making another step now. Another step. Elijah said, let's go to second verse. And Elijah said unto Elijah, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Bethel. And Elijah said unto him, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. Okay? They got out of the rut. Okay? They wasn't in the circle anymore. They're now branching out. Do you hear me? The way we should be doing today. We have stayed in one place so long. Well, I've been born again. I ain't no challenge that. You've been born again, washed in the blood of the Lamb, and you think that's as far as you can go. And this is where people have made some mistakes. Is this is only as far as I can go, and that is to Gilgal. But here Elijah is telling you, is showing you now. He said the Lord has said to him. He's sending him to another place now, to Bethel. So I'm breaking that circle. You see what I'm saying? And the Bible said they went to Bethel. Now here they are at Bethel. Now what's happening at Bethel now? Here you are in Bethel, your soul and your mind, your will and your motion. Now you got to make another decision. You don't like making decisions. You don't like change either, do you? I know most of the Christian church don't like change. But now, change can be good or change could be bad, okay? But you must decide it in your mind, And you must decide that I'm not going to stay in one place or go in circles. Now, talk to yourself right now. Say, you're not going to stay in one place and go in circles. I made up my mind to go what? Further with God. Is that right? Think about it now. All right, let's read on a little further. The third verse says, and the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he said, yea, I know it. Hold your peace. Now, you know somebody's always got to be aggravating you, right? Now, here they are, you know, you're getting ready to lose your master. You're getting ready to lose him. He getting ready to leave you today. Yes, they got a word from the Lord. You hear what they say? They had a word from the Lord. They didn't think Elisha had a word from the Lord. If he followed Elijah long enough, he's going to hear God too. And in the right spirit. Do you see what I'm saying? He's going to be in the right spirit. So he's in the right spirit. So he told him, yeah, I know it. Hold your peace. In other words, you ain't got no need to tell me because I do know that he is going to lead me and I'm going to stick to this man like glue. How many of you will stick to your leader like that? If they have given you a word from the Lord and told you thus and so that God is going to do and he's about to do at a certain time, are you going to believe them or are you going to stay in the circle because you want to go round and round? Are you going to stay in that circle? And that's real talk. You see what I'm saying? Now, you can stay there and you can go to church and go home and sing songs and praise the Lord and then go back home and you can, you know, you're going to pay your tithes and then you're going back home and you're just doing the same old every day and you don't see no progress. You don't see no change. You ought to look sometime another at yourself and say, you know what, I need some changes here. I'm going round and round like a merry-go-round. See? But I'm so glad about this man, Elijah, because Elijah knew that what he had, the only way to obtain what he's asked God for, what he asked the man of God for, and told the man of God that he wanted, you know, he had to stick with him. Because he done already told me, if you see me, go. See? He didn't know the hour that it was going to be that he was going to leave him. But he knew he had got to the place where he knew the day had come that he was about to leave him. And so, isn't that strange? The man of God kept trying to see if if he was going to stand. And he told him, look, stay right here while I go. I'm going to go to this other place. So, you know, I was thinking as I was reading this that, you know, you would begin to be confused because it looked like the man of God don't know where he's going or what he's going to do because he's going from one place to the other. But see, he had an appointment to keep with God, and God was going to take him from a particular destination. He had to finish his work and finish it fast. He was doing it as he went along, and God was directing that man of God, Elijah, of where he's going next, and he was trying to do what? He was trying to disillusion Elijah to see if he really want what he say he want. Because oftentimes we don't know what we want. We think we want this or that. We think we want the spirit that this one has or that one has. But when we got to pay the full price, we don't want it. Because we're not willing to pay the full price. Elijah was willing to pay the full price, you see. So after he went on and he went to Bethel, see, he went to Bethel, and then here the people, here go the people, here they tell him again, even the people he met over in Bethel, knowest thou, in the third verse, knowest thou the Lord would take away your master from the head today, and he said, yeah, I know it, hold your peace, and he tell them the same old thing. He did not be from what he knew to be the truth. He was not going to allow these naysayers tell him anything, be scared, fearful, or what you going to do when he gone. You know, he wasn't going to have no doubts. Elisha was not going to have no doubt. Because when you think about the experience that Elijah had, he was out there minding his own business, and he was plowing the field, out there minding his business. Elijah came along, threw his mantle on the man. And that man was running after him, and he said, what has I done? What in the world did I do? But see, God was choosing him right then. God called him right then from that plow. And whatever came from that mantle that he put on him at that time, just that time, when he first put it on him, you know it was full of the Holy Ghost. You know it burned deep inside of Elijah till Elijah was leaving the plow and getting ready to go after him, run behind him, leaving home and everything to follow Elijah. Now, that's some power, ain't it? All he did was throw the cloak on him. See? And as he did, now, can you imagine everywhere he went with Elijah, he remembered this. It's fresh in his mind what had happened, how the Spirit of God came upon him from him throwing that mantle on him, just over him, just put it over him, hit it and gone on, take it and gone on about your business with your mantle. But it left some imprint on him, didn't it? Is anybody leaving an imprint on you? Huh? Is there any kind of imprint on you today? From somebody, you should be. Somebody should have encouraged you, pushed you forward enough to follow them into the house of God. And this is why I say a true friend ain't a friend unless he follow you right on into the house of God. But now if you going in the house of God and he's still out there in the juke joints or what have you, and you going to go back into the juke joints. So what happened here? Huh? The anointing wasn't strong enough, was it? The word wasn't strong enough, was it? To pull you out of that dark place you was in, but when you got into the light, here it comes and pulls you back into the dark place. See? Come on now, thank you. So here, Elisha is still falling Elijah.
He stopped at Bethel. This is the next place, next stop. He went to Bethel, and he carried the word on there. And when he got there, and this is what he said in the fourth verse, Elijah said unto him, Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho. And he said, as the Lord liveth, as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho. You hear? See, the two of them went. He saw the man was determined, hey, I'm going to stick with you. No matter how you try to shake me loose, I'm going to stick with you. I'm not going to let you out of my sight. I don't care if you go to the bathroom. I'm going to be standing right there. Because I am not letting you out of my sight. I know what I want. I know what I desire of the Lord. And if it takes you to get me there, so be it. You see what I'm saying? We don't want to be servants. We don't want to be workers of God. We don't want to help nobody. We only want to help ourselves. We only think about ourselves. We not think about the people that God has for us to be in contact with that's in place. You got to be a certain place so that the people that you can help, God got them already in place for you if you just get on to the destiny that he put you in, whether it was Gilgal, Bethel, Jericho, or wherever. See, there were people they had to contact before he left. He said, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho. And the Bible saying the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elijah and said unto him. Now, you see, they had sons of the prophet at each place that they went. You see? And what the sons of the prophet come to say? And knowest thou that the Lord would take away thy master from thy head today? At least they were all saying the same thing. And each place, they were all telling him the same thing. So therefore, they all had got a word from the Lord that Elijah is getting ready to take his final journey. He finna fly away. Now, that's his flying away. See, we out here talking about, I fly away, oh, glory. You always talking about you're going to fly away. But see, here he was flying away. He getting ready. You can call it fly if you want. Huh? But here is Elijah getting ready to take off. And Elisha is right behind him. And he answered just as he answered before. He said, yea, I know it. Hold your peace. He told each one of them bunch of prophets the same thing. I know it. I know he's getting ready. He's going to be taken away from me. And the sixth verse said, Elijah said unto him, tarry, I pray thee here, for the Lord has sent me to Jordan. And he said, as the Lord liveth and as the soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they too went on. They went on to Jordan. See, they had these trips to take, these places they had to stop on their way. Now, they on their way. Where are they on their way to? See, Elijah knew where he was going, okay? Because God has already signaled him to the fact that I'm getting ready to take you. Huh? He had signaled to him. You know, now you got to understand, when he stopped in Bethel, that was the house of prayer. They had to stop there and do what? Do some praying. Huh? In Bethel. Now, one thing I can tell you, Bethel is a good place to be. The house of prayer is a good place to be, right? But let me tell you about that sometime. And I've often told people years ago the same thing. There are people who just pray and never act on their prayers. You get it? There are people that pray and never act on the prayers. See? You've got to start doing something. You got to show that when you pray, you believe in your prayers. You believe God is hearing your a prayer. You see what I'm saying? That's the time you done build yourself up, strengthen your spiritual self, your muscles and all, in faith. Now it's time to do what? Be productive. Those prayers are now to be at work. You hear? See, sometimes we always praying. And let's see, there was, I'm trying to remember right quick, a prophet in the Bible, man of God in the Bible, God told me, you know, stop praying. Get up and do something. I'll think about it in a while, but I hadn't thought of it in a long time. But he told me, stop praying. Get up and do something. And told him what to do. See, each place that they went, the two prophets went, God did something there. It meant something. Something had happened different than it was from the last place they were in. See, you need to know that there are degrees and levels that God take you in, you see. But you want to stay in one level, one place where you're comfortable at is where you want to stay. And that's not the way of God. Look what he did with these prophets. Huh? See what he did? Now, here we go. Let's go to the rest of the story. After they got to Jordan, the two of them went to Jordan together. Elijah took his mantle. Now is the stopping point. See, he didn't stop the other places. He was there for just a moment as God began to direct him on to the next place, the next level in him, before he get taken up. You hear? When he took the mantle, wrapped it together, smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither, so that they too went over on dry ground. They didn't take nobody else with them, but the two of them went over on dry ground because God had a special destination already planned, a boarding place. You know, like when you're getting ready to get on the airplane, you go to the boarding gate. So just say Elijah was at the boarding gate. It's time to get on board. Time for him to leave. Huh? Finish my work. I done worked and worked and worked. Now I'm finished. I got to go. Okay? And nobody can't stop him. So they went over on dry ground. So now he's done another miracle, right? Elijah. And the Bible said it came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said unto Elijah, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elijah said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. Now, look at what Elijah said. He said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. Now here come a test of the anointing. Did you get all that you were supposed to get on this journey? Huh? Did you fulfill the task that God was working on you all the time, or did you try to stop in between and play tiddlywinks? So now we'll see now, because I'm getting ready to go. There's always a sign. There's always something to show you whether you have it or not. Do you have that anointing? Have you received the anointing of Elijah? That's all we kind of see now. We're trying to put it to the test. And the Bible say, and it came to pass as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. Huh? Now, he there. Elijah there, standing there. He's seeing it. He see it. It's a wonder. My God, he never seen nothing like that. Elisha saw it, the Bible said, and cried, my father, the chariot of Israel, the horseman thereof, and he saw him no more. He took hold of his own clothes, rent them in two. I mean, he was devastated. He wasn't sick devastated. He was happy devastated, and he just know he had seen a miracle. He know that he seen the hand of God at work. And the Bible said he took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. Now let me see if this thing works. Huh? I done stood with him through storms. I done went with him from one place to the other. I've been with him in the house of prayer. I've been with him in the circle. I've been with him all the way through Jordan. I've been with him through Jericho. Oh, yes, Lord. My God, I just been there all the time. I refused to let him go. I wanted to hold on to the horns of the altar. And when I hold on to the horns of the altar now, I believe that I've got that blessing. I've got that double portion. I got all. I'm holding on to it. Now let's see if it works. I want to know if I really got it. The Bible says he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, where is the Lord of Elijah? And when he also had smitten the waters, they parted thither and hither, and Elisha went over. My God, he walked back over it. Huh? He had the anointing. The anointing was there. He had gotten what he asked for. Now he's on his own journey, and he's got to show forth the glory of God in his life as he go along. And God began to work signs and wonders in his life because he now had a double portion of Elijah. No wonder's name sounds so much alike. Elijah and Elisha, they sound like twins, don't they? And God worked with them just like that. So therefore the spirit of Elijah was in Elisha. It fell upon him. Huh? Oh, my God. Now, listen here. I like this part. And when the sons of the prophets, which were to view at Jericho, saw him, they said, the spirit of Elijah do rest on Elisha. And they came to meet him and bowed themselves to the ground before him. Oh, my God, they had to say, oh, yeah, I see now why you waited for him and went on with him and wouldn't, you know, wouldn't let him go. I'd have held on to him, too. I've seen something like that. I like to hold on to people like that, don't you? They got something. Huh? I like that. My God, I want to get some of that, too. But today we don't see too many people they want the money part, but they don't want the anointing, because the anointing going to cost you something. You're going to go through many valleys and shadows of death. Hmm? You're going to be in a lot of wilderness experiences. Hmm? See? Hmm. You didn't know that, did you? Mm-hmm. It's going to cost you something. Can you stand the test? Will you stand there with him? Hmm? Now, let me tell you, as he went on and God was using him, okay? Now, you know the devil always going to use somebody to try to trick you and get you to do something you ain't got no business doing. You know that, right? He always tries that. Now, listen, 16th verse say, and they said unto him, behold, there be with thy servant 50 strong men. Let them go, we pray thee, and seek thy master. Now, you've been up there telling the man God finna take the man away. Now you want to go find him. Well, now, you didn't believe what God was telling you. In other words, these sons of the prophet didn't believe what God was telling them, because he told them that he's going to be taken away from Elijah. Okay, well, so what you thought he was going to do, bring them to y'all? Huh? Because now they're telling him something else. Let's go seek thy master. Lest peradventure the spirit of the Lord would take him up and cast him upon some mountain or some valley, and he said, ye shall not sin. He said, don't go do that. Don't do that. There ain't no use of doing that. I know where he's at. He gone with to be with the Lord. God took him up. God took him. Okay, we'll put it in your language. God raptured him. Okay? This is what happened. Now, they didn't believe what God had told them, that he was taking Elijah away. Where did he think he was taking him to? Is that like the people of today? They don't believe nothing they hear, do they? When you tell them what thus said the Lord, they rather believe a lie than the truth. They were believing what? I don't know what they were believing, because they was not believing what God said. They want to go looking for Elijah now. Well, you got Elijah, so you know he was taken away, and God sent, got somebody else in his place, and you say he, the Spirit is in him. Now, you just already admitted that. Why you want to look for Elijah now? You see how crazy this the church world is today? They don't know where they're going or what they're doing. And it says itself, when they urged him till he was shamed. See, they kept nagging him. Sin, they sent, therefore, he told them, send 50 men. And they sought 3 days, but found him not. Because he know they wasn't going to find him. They could look and look and look, but he wasn't gonna, they wasn't going to find him. Now listen what they did. When they came again to him, for he tarried at Jericho, he said unto them, did I not say unto you, go not? What did you expect to find? I'm here. God left me here in this place. I have the spirit of Elijah. What you need? What do you want to see now? See? You know, I could go on and on. But and the rest of it is showing, the rest of the scripture is showing you that miracles were happening. Elisha was now being used mightily by God, you know, in different areas as he went. See? You read it at your leisure time, but it was, that's a beautiful story, and I'm going to stop right there, praise God, and give somebody else a little time, because let me tell you, don't stay in one place. You see, your problem is you just stopped at one place, and you don't want to go no further. I said like this, you're not adventurous, You don't want to see what else God got for you? Well, I'm happy right here. You're just comfortable going to church and going home and go to work if you're working or whatever. That's all you may pay your tithes, and that's all you want to do. You don't want to go no further. You don't want no more. You have put a limit on God. And God having an unlimited resource, and you put the limit on God because you keeping it to yourself. See? But Elijah, when he got that mantle, and that mantle dropped from Elijah, my God, he knew he had it then. He was going on with it. Are you going to go on with what God is giving you right at this moment? He's giving you a mind right now, mindset, a change mind, changing the way you think, changing the way you talk, changing the way you believe in God, that you're going to trust him completely and fully. You're going to trust him. You're going to take the limit off of him. You see what I'm saying? Because he has an unlimited resource. So just trust him, believe him, and it shall come to pass. Brother Mike. I thought you were going to keep on going.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for Apostle Porter. And, you know, Apostle Porter, we was getting wound up there. We, you know, I wish he could have kept on going. Hey, but you know, Elijah and Elijah, when the passing of the mantle, you know, they got a thing that say the passing of the torch or whatever the case may be. But that's the way it goes. Somebody has to pass it down and take it up. But are you worthy? The key is, are you worthy of picking up the mantle? Are you worthy of doing the things of God? Do you have it in you to do these things and to come forth, to step forth? And, you know, I was talking out of Apostles' Book Monday on in chapter 8, and I think it was page 53, and it talked about the creative productivity. And, you know, a lot of people got to have that creative productivity. But, you know, God had that creative productivity is when he created everybody. Now, and as it goes on and on, we see how the Bible moves and how things start turning, how the wheels keep going, how everything just get passed down, and how it goes on and on and on. And this is what we're talking about. And this is how we got to pass these things on. Now, it's up to us who know better to pass it on to these ones who don't know nothing. You know, somebody got to do it. You know, why can't it be you or me? You know, somebody got to do it. So we need to understand that where we're going and how we're getting there also. Could you do it? You know, could you do as Elijah did? Could you go behind and could you do it? You know, could you, I think as we talked in Bible study last night, could you, how you say it? Could you follow your leader? Could you be like your leader? First of all, let's go back. Do you understand your leader? Do you know what your leader talking about? Do you know what the vision is all about for the church? That's another story altogether. So we need to come together with a whole lot of stuff. We need to come to grips with a lot of things in order for us to move on up the ladder, you know. So if we got to move up the ladder, we got to do what? We got to study more. We got to pray more. We got to understand more. But as Apostle opened up saying is, if you don't know, ask questions. You don't know if you don't ask. If you don't ask, then you ain't going to know. Then if you don't ask what it is, do you know all about it yourself? No man knows all about it. We might know some things, but no man know it all. If you knew it all, you'd be up there with your maker on the left hand of the throne or somewhere too. So let's get that straight. But we need to understand where we're coming from and all these things that was going on. Now, I'll give a little testimony right quick, like, now, Monday night or Tuesday morning, whatever, I was laying down and all of a sudden felt like fiery darts was coming at me and I was waving them off. Then all of a sudden it was pain in the hip. I guess I must have missed one and it hit me. Then it was a pain over there on my left side a little bit. I said, oh, Lord, you know, and I'm steady waving them off. I mean, it was a fight all night. And, you know, when I thought about it, I say, yeah, I talked about them fiery darts, and here they came, you know. So you got to be careful what you talk about, too, you know, because otherwise they're going to come up on you, you know. And you got to be ready for all these things that happen and, you know, that go down. But things happen for a reason. Sometimes God try to get your attention, too. You know, we got to look at that, too, that God try to get our attention. You know, and the devil, he is what we're doing, too. So he's going to try to intercept. So if you're trying to move on and move along, the devil's there to try to intercept you, to keep you from your destiny with the Lord. We got to watch out for these things, too, because there's always pitfalls and traps and all along the path that we have to look at and we have to agree upon that these things exist. There's no point in us looking all over the place. These things exist. These things happen. It's always things that happen. It's always things that go down on us. We need to understand, where do we stand? Or can we stand? Can we stand under the pressure, too? A lot of people can't handle the pressure. They buckle, you know. So we got to understand where that go at, too. So we all got to stand strong in the Lord and be with the Lord and understand that the Lord is there for us to help us and to guide us and to continue to be on his side, to be with him. In order for us to be with him, we got to do the right thing. People, we got to do the right thing. We got to do the honest thing. We got to do the trustworthy thing. We got to deal in truths, not fiction, not lies. not other things. We got to deal in truth. We got to deal in the facts of the Bible, not on hearsays, because a lot of people live on hearsays, and a lot of people live on fantasies. You can't live on these fantasies and hearsays. You got to deal with the truth that's in the Bible. You got to deal with what's there. And the reality of it all is the Bible is there for us. And that's where our instructions come in. That's where our life comes in. And to be perfectly honest, that's our lifeline. Because they're trying to take the Bibles away from you. So, therefore, if they're trying to reprint and redo the Bibles, what are they trying to do? They're trying to change our livelihood, or they're trying to change our bloodline. They're trying to change our pattern. What do we have to pattern ourselves after if they're changing everything? And the Bible has been around for thousands of years. Why do you want to change that? Change yourself. Change how you do. Hey, you know that's what it's all about, to change ourselves when we change over to God. When we give our life to Christ, what are we doing? We're making a change for the better, not the worse. We got to always look for the better. Don't look for the worse. Look for the better. And here's Sister Diane.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I tell you, that was a word from Apostle Porter and Deacon Michael, I tell you. And Bible study, yes, it was good. That it was. I'm going to read to you again as Apostle read verse 15. And it say, when the sons of the prophet, which were to view at Jericho, saw him, they said, the spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha. And they came to meet him and bowed themselves to the ground before him. So they recognized that the spirit rested upon Elisha. And I've been hearing Apostle Porter last night when, you know, she asked about, you know, her spirit resting upon her people. Do they get it? And I can tell you firsthand, I witness it, because when I first came into the ministry, and Apostle left and went to New York, and Pastor Sharon was preaching, and I looked at her, and I swear that was Apostle Porter right there. She never left. I didn't know about the spirit, you know, having the spirit of the leader. I didn't know anything about that. All I know is when I saw her and she was preaching, but it's like I was hearing Apostle Porter. And if you could recognize, or you could even follow the instruction of your leader, be ordered to take orders, follow instruction, walk with your leader, where they walk, you'd be surprised what can happen to you. So, you know, it was just amazing. I was just sitting here and just thinking about that, where I saw that actually happening. Well, nobody told me, but I saw it for myself. So, you know, sometimes God lets you see and let you hear and let you recognize certain things when you ask. So you tune in every Wednesday and Thursday to Blog Talk Radio. That call-in number is 347-857-3925. That's 347-857-3925. That's every Wednesday and Thursday at 9 a.m. You can also tune into blogtalkradio.com/timetotalkaboutit and listen to each and every segment that Apostle Porter has put out there. Every Friday night at 11 p.m., we have the Wailing Walls Prayer Line, hosted by our very own Elder Whitted. That calling number is 218-548-6746, code 3333 pound. That's 218-548-6746,
code 3333-POUND. That is every Friday night at 11 p.m. So come on, let's join together and tear the devil kingdom down and take back everything that we have allowed the enemy to steal from us. Every Monday at 3 p.m., we have Deacon Michael, what I'm just saying. That calling number is 917-889-2211. That's every Monday at 3 p.m. So come on every Sunday at 1 p.m. and every Tuesday night for Bible Talk. Join us at the City of Victory, and that address is 31325 Plymouth Sorrento Road, Sorrento, Florida, 32776. Till then, be blessed.
On my mind, searching for that peace, the peace I could not find. Then I kneel down to pray, pray, help me please. Then he said, you don't have to cry, 'cause I'll supply all your needs.
As soon as I stop worrying,
I stop worrying,
worrying how the story ends.
When I let go,
I let go,
and I let
God,
let him have,
let God have his way.
That's when things
start happening.
Struggle from day to day. I have to realize that it's not my battle. It's not my battle to fight. I have to know if I put it in his hands that everything would be alright. Yeah.
As
soon as I stop worrying,
God.
He can handle it all.